Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Live on in my love. You will live in my love if you keep my commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. All this I tell you, that my joy may be yours and your joy may be complete." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Live on in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will live in my love. Yesterday or last night, we spoke about this live on in my love, and how we need to really listen and integrate and validate and embrace in our lives all that our Lord calls us to. Today, our Lord really emphasizes for us that the key to living in his love and also the key to having his joy is to obey, to keep my commandments. Obeying is a very difficult thing for all of us. We see it extremely difficult for so many young children of today. And so it's important that we look at and consider what are the factors that really are involved in obeying. Because all of us have this tendency to customize, reinterpret what God calls us to based on our own particular desires and our own particular situation. We can kind of rephrase and exempt ourselves from all kinds of things and still pretend that we are obeying. Today's first reading is all about obeying. And the first part in obeying is to look at the idea, the O of overcoming, the impediments to our obeying. To really label and see that we have to overcome our prejudice, our anxiety, our concupiscence. Because every time God calls us to do something, those factors of conflict very subtly can emerge in our lives. For example, prejudice. The first reading is kind of about that. They always had the mentality, well, the Gentiles aren't savable. We're the chosen people. So the Gentiles will have to be circumcised if they're going to be good Christians. And the whole idea of just the chosen people being called is challenged and now revisited in a much broader concept. We all have prejudice. I was having dinner with a family some weeks ago, an older couple, and the man was telling me how he hated Mexican food. And he went on and on about it. And at one point, his wife asked a very subtle question. She said, "Have you ever eaten any?" And he said, "No." And but he didn't like the way it looked. And I said, "Well, you know, you're prejudiced against Mexican food." And he got all upset. I'm not prejudiced. I mean, I didn't see it to be such a great offense to be prejudiced against the thing. But the word prejudice was something that just flagged him. And, you know, I'm not prejudiced. But he had never tasted Mexican food. And yet he was going on endlessly about how terrible it was. And I thought, what a neat little question she planted. How well she knew him. He had never, ever tried it in his life. But he sure was never going to try it. You know, sometimes we need to confront in our own lives what we're prejudiced against. What does prejudice mean? To prejudge. Well, Peter and some of the apostles had prejudged this whole situation based on their knowledge of Scripture and their perception of it up to this point. It's the same in our lives. God can reveal and unveil to us new and developing factors that bring in additional things, and all of a sudden we need to see a bigger picture on things. So we're all prejudice. We all have prejudgments, convictions that need to be deepened and re-looked at. And along with that, of course, we all carry anxieties. The fear of this man for the word of being accused of being prejudiced was just unbelievable. And the same is true with us. We all have walls we build and go up as soon as a trigger is pushed. And of course, concupiscence. We all have the inclination towards laziness, towards lust, towards all of the seven roots of sin, towards pride and anger. And we need to be aware of those as we are called by God to obey, to do a particular thing at a particular time. So the first part of obeying is to overcome those prejudices and anxieties and concupiscence in our lives that keep us from being willing to fully and unreservedly obey. The second part of obeying, of course, is to believe. To believe what it is that God is really telling us. Like what? Well, there was this college student who was in a discussion and she said, "I can no longer believe in God." And her professor said to her, "Well, maybe I should congratulate you." And she said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, perhaps the God you believe in needs to be discarded so you might discover the real God." You know, we're all in need of revising our vision of God. Because we tend to take on a perception and humanize or personalize our God to our own liking, to our own understanding, to our own comfort zone. And so when God does something mysterious in our life, or when some suffering comes along that we can't explain, that doesn't make sense, we are really challenged to consider, what is our belief in God? Do we believe God is punishing us because of this suffering? Do we believe there is no purpose behind this suffering? Do we believe that God couldn't have prevented this suffering? So the believing stage of obeying is to take into account the reality of God as He is and as we truly should believe in Him. And why do we believe in God? There was this angel walking down the street and he had a torch and a bucket. And somebody came up to him and said, "What's this for?" He said, "Well, with the torch I'm going to burn down the mansions of heaven, and with the water I'm going to put out the fires of hell. And then we'll see who really loves God." Very good point. How much of what we do in life is out of fear of punishment or hope of reward? How much do we really love God? Do we believe when God tells us, "I love you and you are precious to me"? Do we really believe that God sent His only Son while we were still sinners that we might be saved? What do we believe and why do we believe it? Obedience calls all of that into play. Because if we don't understand or if we don't like what we're being called to do, then how do we handle it? Do we believe in an omnipotent and all-loving God? The next, the third stage of our obeying God is to consider how much or whether we really experience the love and the wisdom and the providence of God in our lives. There's a beautiful, charming story about the sunflower. It goes on to say that the sunflower used to have dark brown petals, and it would always droop towards the ground. But sunflowers were planted and grew in the garden in which Jesus was entombed. And that Easter morning, when the risen light struck the sunflowers, all of a sudden, forevermore, their petals were transformed into golden yellow. And they surged up and reached out towards that sunlight. Well, while the sunflower still droops towards the ground at night, every morning at the first crack of dawn, they surge up and reach towards the sunlight. We are resurrected people. And we need to understand what it means to experience the warmth and the light and the hope of Christ in our lives. In the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our discouragement, in the midst of all that life brings upon us that we don't understand or like, we need to be resurrection people. And we need to access ourselves to the bank, the memory bank of scripture verses and experiences in our life that testify to that. To really begin to pull out of scripture those verses that speak to us about the love of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God. You know, God gave us a memory so that we might have spring in the middle of winter. And the same is true in our spiritual life. When we are down, we need to access the love of God and not lose sight of how deeply He loves us. And if we truly overcome the obstacles in our life, if we truly believe in God and begin to experience more fully His love, then we will more readily and more consistently yield to all that God calls us to do. You know how when we're trying to pull onto a freeway, we're hoping that people will kind of give us a chance to merge in. Well, it's kind of that way with God. He's trying to break into our lives, but we need to slow up. We need to pull off. We need to change lanes so that that new input can come and be part of us. There was a woman who was diagnosed as terminally ill. And at first, she continued her routine of work and schedule. And then one day she thought, what am I doing? Why am I putting money in the savings account? Why am I working so hard? Why am I not following my heart and doing the things I always knew I wanted to do and should do? 15 months later, just before she died, she shared with a friend of hers that this last 15 months had been the happiest and most fulfilling of her life. We are all terminal. None of us are getting any younger. And the only of us that will be spared the challenges of old age are those of us who die young. And so our Lord today is calling us to consider, are we yielding to His call? Are we obeying what He calls us to? Are we experiencing His joy in our life? Are we living on in His love? Let us today consider what kind of fiat we have in our lives. Fiat voluntas tua, thy will be done. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, be it done unto me as you say. We are here for only one reason. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, who took control of their lives, we are here for only one purpose and for only one length of time, to surrender control back to God. To do it at His time and in His way. So let us today really focus on and appreciate the call to live on in His love is a call to keep His commandments, to obey Him, to truly overcome the things that prevent us and impede us, to truly believe in all that He tells us, to truly experience His love, and to yield to His call. Let us now offer our petitions to our Heavenly Father.